All right, our sermon today is based on a reading from Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 24. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you will be consumed in the punishment of the city." But he lingered, so the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and left him outside the city. When they had brought them outside, they said, "Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills, or else you will be consumed." And Lot said to them, "Oh, no, my lords. Your servant has found favor with you, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot flee to the hills, for fear the disaster will overtake me, and I die. Look, that city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Very well, I grant you this favor too, and will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." Therefore, the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. These verses were omitted on the slide. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Thank you, God, for rescuing us and bringing us into your holy presence. So we started looking at salty verses last week as we continue to taste and see that the Lord is good and prepare for next year's Eat Our Way Through the Bible sermon series. Salt is such an essential part of our lives that we almost take it for granted. Unless you're a nerd like me and you get all excited when your salt shaker is empty and you have to add more salt to it, and the box of salt you use to refill your salt shaker is empty too. And that means you have to go buy more salt. But that's just me. It seems like those containers of salt last a long, long time. And that is exactly why salt was used to enforce and seal a covenant, because it lasted so long, because it would not wear out or spoil, because it would never run out. Sprinkle salt on a covenant and it lasts forever. Remembering what we learned last week about the everlasting nature of the covenant of salt gives us a new perspective on the well-known story about Lot's wife, who became a pillar of salt when she looked back as she and her family were fleeing the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Though it was brief, it was such a profound and impactful story that Jesus referred to it as a warning for people as they were preparing for the end times. When Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife," people paused, flipped through their mental index files to find the story, and said, "Oh yeah, she looked back and became a pillar of salt. She was changed forever, and not in a good way." The angel specifically told Lot and his family not to look back as God rained sulfur and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the old Morton Salt model: when it rains, it pours. So many people speculate about why she looked back. Her name in Jewish law is Adith. They say she didn't just glance over her shoulder, she stopped and she stood and stared. The most common theory is that she was looking back and longing for the life she lived in Sodom. Her divided loyalties were her ruin. What lay ahead of her and her family was a vast unknown, and she was not completely committed to a new beginning, leaving behind what was close and comfortable. A new beginning was what Jesus was telling his followers to prepare for. There was no use looking back. All the old cruddy stuff was going to be destroyed, and there was no use lamenting over losing it or longing to keep it or wanting to return to it. The new stuff was going to be incredibly, wonderfully different. So turn your back on the old way of life, Jesus said, and look forward to the new reality coming. As another wise person once said, "You can live in the past, but there's no future in it." Jesus also said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Just as a covenant of salt is a symbol of commitment and loyalty, so Jesus seeks commitment and loyalty from all those who would follow him. There can be no looking back. We can rightfully say if Adith had not stopped to look back, she wouldn't have fated her family to an incestuous mess that created some of Israel's worst enemies, Moab and Ammon. Go home and read the rest of Genesis 19. But remember, Moab isn't part of Jesus' own genealogy. There are a number of neat nuances in this story of Lot's wife. For one, salt can also be taken as a metaphor for hospitality. Remember last week we heard that once someone offered you salt at their table and you ate of it, you were bound to them in fidelity forever. That's because salt in the past was expensive, and to share the precious commodity with someone was a real demonstration of friendship and caring and sharing. It was the epitome of hospitality. While some stress that the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah is a dire warning against homosexuality, others legitimately contend that it is also a story of hospitality, or the lack thereof. The people of the city wanted to exploit and use and abuse the angelic visitors instead of fulfilling their civil and religious obligation to offer shelter and food to the strangers in town. The people did not share their salt, and thus Lot's wife became a pillar of salt in the aftermath of the catastrophe, a perpetual reminder that the alien in our midst is worthy of comfort and care and acceptance and our salt. One commentator called Lot's wife a monument of divine vengeance, a perpetual reminder that God means what God says. When God tells you don't look back, God means don't look back. Lot's wife became a perpetual warning about disobeying God and not accepting God's invitation into a better future. She took the angel's warning with a huge grain of salt. She didn't take them seriously, and she paid for this belief. Well, we also have to fault Lot for lingering and dilly-dallying. He resisted the angel's efforts to get him out of town at first, declaring he couldn't run to the hills. The accommodating angels were exasperated by him, but he finally got going. Salt is also a symbol of suffering. Remember the phrase about pouring salt into someone's wounds, making things go from bad to worse, not offering hope or healing, just prolonging and intensifying the pain. I have never quoted Bruce Springsteen in a sermon, but some of his lyrics come to mind. He sang once, "Remember how I poured salt on your tongue and hung just out of reach." Giving salt instead of water to a thirsty person only makes their suffering that much more horrible. It's refusing to care for them, refusing to ease their pain, teasing them instead, refusing to offer hospitality as we are commanded to do. And yet, salt can also be used as a metaphor for the Holy Spirit, God's preserving, purifying, divine energy that is constantly being sprinkled into our lives, making them savory, making us remember the covenant of salt God has made with us, a covenant to provide for us, to protect us, to feed us, and nourish us. The promise of salt is realized most fully in Jesus Christ, who pours himself out for us and onto us to preserve us and present us as a living, loving sacrifice to God. I also wanted to share the story I read some years ago in the Reader's Digest. Two men were out in the desert just tooling around in their Jeep when they suddenly came upon a statue of a woman. It was beautiful. It was alabaster white, but so lifelike. Her hair and her dress seemed to blow in the wind. There was a veil over her face, so transparent and realistic that they half expected it to feel like lace when they touched it. Well, the statue was so beautiful, they couldn't bear the idea of leaving it out there in the desert where no one else could see it. It needed to be brought into the city and put on display. So the men heaved the statue into their Jeep and drove back to the city, talking about an art gallery they knew where they could take the statue. They finally reached the city and drove to the art gallery, leaving the beautiful statue in the open Jeep. As they were talking with the gallery owner, it started to rain. The men went outside to check on their beautiful find, and it was gone. All that was left of it was a puddle of salty water. Well, you know what they say, when it rains, it pours. Let us pray. God, you want nothing less from us than our total devotion. You want us to keep our eyes on you, never looking back, always looking forward, where the culmination of your covenant of salt awaits us in your kingdom. May we never take our eyes off the future promise and prize that you have signed, sealed, and delivered for us. Amen.